This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Welcome back to the Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. And I wanted to reach out to my good friend, you know, friend of the show, Tim Fitch, to talk about what's going on right now with the St. Louis Police Department. You know Tim, former St. Louis County Police Chief, former St. Louis County Councilman, genius in all things. Tim, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, Brad.
Generally speaking, and I'm going to go through some of this with you, Tim, but generally speaking, my view on politics is generally that political control that's closer is better. You know, state government is more accessible than the federal government. Local government is more accessible than state government. So that's generally how I look at things. However, this issue with who controls the St. Louis police, I don't think it can absolutely follow that rubric, as the local government doesn't seem to be equipped to handle what is clearly the largest issue for the entire St. Louis region. So, as you know, right now, on the Senate floor, I think it was introduced yesterday, was a bill to transfer control of the city of St. Louis's police department over to state control and actually a board of governance. Generally speaking, Tim, Is that necessary at the present time?
I think it is, unfortunately. I mean, we've given this 10-year experiment an opportunity to work, and I don't think it's been successful with the current mayor at the helm making the decisions. So I also agree that local control is best. By the way, this is exactly what this bill does. If anybody wants to look it up, it's Senate Bill 52, and basically it gives local control to St. Louis residents. So not people like the mayor, although she would have a seat, or he, whoever gets elected next, would have a seat in the 5-member Board of Police Commissioners, but it basically reinstalls the Board of Police Commissioners like we had in the city and St. Louis County's had since 1955, and it's worked quite well. But it basically gives the governor the authority to appoint 4 of the 5 members, and the 5th is the mayor.
And in this instance, you alluded to this, Tim, a moment ago, but all 5 members of that police commissioner board, all 5 members would be residents of the city of St. Louis.
That's right. They have to be. They're required to be. And, there's some other interesting pieces of the bill. And some of the languages have changed through the months, you know, since this was first started and pre-filed and all back in December. But it's still holding pretty firm that the Board of Police Commissioners, you know, assume control of the police department in the city of St. Louis no later than July 1st of 2026. So basically you would have about a year, a little more than a year to get this all set up. And the governor also gets to appoint, I think what they call a transition person to oversee the transition as well to implement it. So, it would take effect in August, this August, the 28th. And then it would be no later than July 1st of the following year. So a little less, about a year roughly to get it set up.
We're talking to Tim Fitch, friend of the show. And Tim, just a very quick history lesson for listeners. From after the Civil War until about 10 years ago, the city of St. Louis's police department was under state control to some degree with a board of commissioners. Then about 10 years ago, that changed and local control was returned. And now there's this issue about what do we do with it? But when you look at that history and you look at that setup, I was in favor of returning control to the city of St. Louis 10 years ago, because again, I think local control is better. But looking at what's happened over the past 10 years, do we have enough information to say in this instance, while local control is generally better, it hasn't worked out so well? Can we reach that conclusion?
Yeah, definitely. And you ask the police officers in the city if they're happy under the current structure, the political structure they're under, they're not. And it's not the idea of making them happy, but if the officers are satisfied with their work, they're going to come to work every day and do the work that they were hired for. When they're afraid to make decisions and choices and make decisions, should I take this next call? Should I arrest this next person? When they think they're going to be second-guessed by an elected official like the current mayor, that's a problem. You want to know why they have so many vacancies? That's the primary reason why they have so many vacancies. They don't feel supported. And at least under this, and by the way, both of the unions, you know, you have the Ethical Society and you have the St. Louis Police Officers Association, are in favor of this. And historically, those two groups haven't agreed on a lot, but they absolutely agree that the state needs to take over control of this police department.
Well, what I was looking just today, Tim, at some of the complaints, some of the arguments against returning control to the state and also this locally appointed governance board. And it seems like the most common denominator, I read multiple interviews with multiple individuals, both local and in Jeff City. And the common denominator, Tim, of all of the complaints, all of the rejections of this idea comes down to one word, politics. The arguments are where you are injecting politics into this situation. But as I look at it, can't the case be made, Tim, that politics have been injected into the situation over the past 10 years when you have progressive ideologies that talk about defunding the police, not empowering the police, handcuffing the police metaphorically? Doesn't that inject politics into the situation more than simply having a state control?
It absolutely does. You have one person now, the mayor of the city of St. Louis, who has complete control of the department, complete control. Under the proposed system, you would have five members of a board of police commissioners. So the politics is diluted when you have that many. Or else, why do you even have like legislative bodies, you know, like the county council? Why wouldn't you just have one? That's the system that's in place right now in the city of St. Louis. And by having a five-member board, they have to come to an agreement, a majority of them, to take any action or improve anything like pay raises and new policy and use of force, all those different things that come into what police officers do, important work they do every day. You would have a five-member board, which you have to have at least three of them to get together and say, yes, this is what we should do. Right now, it's one person making that decision.
Wow. So in reality, if you look at this governance board situation that's being proposed, that would actually make it far more democratic and accountable than what we currently have with Mayor Tishara Jones being solely in charge of the St. Louis Police Department.
That's right. And I think the people of the state agreed 10 years ago, okay, it's been a long time, the Civil War, since we've done this. Let's give this a try. It hasn't worked. So it's time to go back to what they were doing before. Hopefully there will even be improvements on what they were doing before. And the reason why the city, there's some discussion about them going back to the state control, is much different than why they did it during the Civil War. I mean, it was all about, you know, St. Louis and Kansas City controlling the armories for the states, and the rest of the state was pretty much, I will call it, Confederate leaning, where they were afraid the city of St. Louis and the city of Kansas City, which were more union supportive and had all the weapons. So they said, we need state control to make sure that they don't act out those two entities. So what we're talking about today is a much different reason for state control.
Mm. Very good. Thanks for giving us that walk down history lane. We're talking to Tim Fitch. And Tim, one of the other issues as I saw the detractors, those who are opposed to the state re-exerting control, is racial. And here's what I read multiple individuals say. They said, well, it's discriminatory because if we increase the police, then that's going to have a negative effect on minorities in the city of St. Louis, who truly aren't minorities when it comes to the city of itself. But from my perspective, listen, I watch the news, local news, every morning, every night. And what I see more often than not is African-Americans coming forward and saying, we want the crime to stop. We want these shootings to stop. We want the harm that's being done to our children by random gunfire. We want that to stop. So if you're looking to help the minorities in the city of St. Louis, wouldn't this be a step in the right direction to try to reduce the crime that impacts blacks in the city far more than anyone else?
Well, I will tell you, just look at one of the alderwomen, Sharon Tyus, who represents North St. Louis. Just, I think it was yesterday or day before, she said, people in my community that I represent do not see the police. They want to see the police more often. They need more enforcement. They need more visibility to bring down the crime in her area. I think that says all you need to know. Is the community, they're asking for this. They're asking for increased visibility and increased police presence and enforcement of the law. I think those detractors that say, you know, that there'll be some racial component to this are misguided. They need to listen to the community.
Absolutely. One of the things that I was one of the loudest critics of was Kim Gardner. When Kim Gardner was circuit attorney, I was one of her most vocal critics, and as were many others, right? But there was a political component to her view of being a circuit attorney. In other words, in a perverse way, she saw that the way to help in the city as a circuit attorney who's supposed to prosecute crime is for her not to prosecute crime. That's what she saw her job as. Are you seeing any improvement now that we have Gabe Gore, who's the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, Oh, no doubt. It's a 100% improvement over Kim Gardner. And, you know, he's got a lot of work to do, and he's done it pretty quickly to turn that office around. And, you know, I also have to give kudos to the new county prosecutor, where she has also done the same thing. It's very quickly has turned that office around and is back to prosecuting violent crime. Remember, what we're talking about here is what the community wants is they want people who are committing violent acts. They want them locked up. They want them prosecuted and locked up. Nobody's got a problem with diversion for low-level crimes. Everybody supports that. I've always supported that. You know, we hear that there are people in the county jail, for example, that for possession of marijuana. No. If anybody's over there for possession of marijuana, it's because they had enough to choke Willie Nelson. It's not because they had small amounts of marijuana. And I always said, even as a police chief, if you know somebody over there with a small amount of marijuana that they're in jail for, you come and tell me and I'll go over there with you to help get them out. That just doesn't exist. People want violent crime. They want it to be handled. They want it to be those folks to be off the street.
We're talking to Tim Fitch, of course, former St. Louis County police chief, former St. Louis County councilman. And Tim, I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Let's say the state takes control of the city. And the governance board comes to Tim Fitch and says, Tim, what would you do if you had to triage the issue with the police in the city of St. Louis? What would be your triage list? How would you answer that?
The first thing the officers need to know is that they're supported by the elected officials at the government that employs them. If they don't feel that support, they won't give it 100% because they'll be afraid to give it 100%. That's the first rock that has to be turned over in the city of St. Louis is to make sure those officers know they're supported. And how will they know? Because when they follow the law or they follow their procedure, they follow their training, and bad things will happen, I guarantee you,
of course,
that they are supported by the command structure of the police department and by the elected officials. That's got to be priority number one.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking as you're saying that, Tim, how important that is, because when you're asking police officers to go out in dangerous situations or unknown situations and take a risk, risk their own life, health, and safety to protect the citizens of St. Louis, they got to know that the city officials have their back when it comes to doing what they do, or they're not going to take that kind of a risk.
No doubt. And, you know, that number one that I do, it's got to be followed up by number two, and let's properly compensate them. Mm-hmm. Let's make it to where people want to be a St. Louis Metropolitan Police officer, that they have people standing in line waiting to join that police department. That would be the best case scenario. And there's some other ideas that I have, too, that come down to 3, 4, and 5, but those are the top two.
Wow. Well, I hope, because I know you've got a consulting business right now, Tim, and I certainly hope that if this happens, and I certainly hope that it does, that the first call that governance board makes is to you. Hey, you took out some valuable time today, Tim. Thanks so much for talking with us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
I appreciate it, Brad.
Great to talk to Tim. And listen, you heard not just theoretical solutions. You heard solutions from a guy who's been there, who's been in the trenches, and has the wounds to prove it. And he's not just blowing smoke, is he, Sue?
Oh, no. He is, you know, as a former chief himself, he knows all about this. And he's exactly right. If these people feel unsupported, they're underpaid. They don't feel supported. We don't have enough. And if this board can turn it around, I'm all for it.
Me too. Hey, we got to take a break. Stick around. More of the Mark Reardon Show coming up right after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Toyota has been building a legacy of excellence for years. From developing hybrid technology to upping the standards of safety and efficiency, Toyota is always innovating, always making progress. And with Toyota's superior lineup of SUVs in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out an adventure-ready RAV4 designed to be the perfect mix of style, practicality, and go-anywhere attitude. Or test drive a capable and affordable Corolla Cross with the space and available tech to keep you cool and connected. And both RAV4 and Corolla Cross are available with all-wheel drive, giving you the freedom to roam. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.